Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Hi, Nolubabalo. Good afternoon to you.
This is Nobele Kumar.
Hey, Nobele Kumalo, how are you?
Thanks. How are you?
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Welcome to the Adventist World Radio, SID Media. Now, we are going to be talking to you about an interesting subject, the wills and estate planning. And of course, it's often said that one can't, anticipate what life has in store. One can actually make sure that your loved ones are taken care of when you're no longer around. So today and the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking into how we can ensure that our loved ones, particularly those who depend on us, can be taken care of while we're no longer here to do it ourselves. Uh-huh. Now, Nobele, why is this subject important for everyone to understand?
I think one way to tackle it, actually, because I think a lot of people know about the concept of a will, right? Which is, in simple terms, a recorded description of the way in which you want your estate or your assets to be, you know, distributed after you are gone, right? Mm. So I think a lot of people know what a will is in principle and know that this is probably an important thing to do, but don't get around to doing it. So I think one way to tackle the question of why it's important maybe is to look at the reasons why people don't do it and try to provide reasons to counter that type of thinking. Because I think a lot of decisions go beyond just, you know, not having time, but about the psychology of the mind, right? Mm. What we associate certain things with. So I'll just go through some research that I did about the reasons why people don't have a will, even though they know they need one. So one of the common ones is that I don't have anything worth leaving, right?
Yes.
Especially
yes.
in these economic times. The conception is that a will is for the high and mighty and wealthy, right? Those
yes.
who have millions upon millions and, you know. But two things. One, usually people who think this way are at the younger stages of their life, right? So they think, oh, maybe when I'm like 40 or 50 or 60, when I've, you know, amassed property in life, then I'll consider a will. But people don't realize that neither one of us knows we're not going to die, right? One of us knows when you're going to die. So we don't have the benefit of time, because time is something that we are borrowed every single day. In the last year alone, I know so many people who are young, in their late 30s, early 40s, who had a certain headache and just died, you know, leaving their affairs possibly not taken care of. And the other danger with thinking I'll do it later is we actually don't realize how much we're worth.
Yeah.
How much we've accumulated as the years go by, right? So you don't want to be in a situation where you had the chance, you had the opportunity, thought you had time and didn't. Of course, you are dead. You won't feel the effects. But those who remain behind after you are going to feel, the effects of that. And also, a will is not just about, you know, how you want your assets to be distributed. Think about it. If you have children, for example,
you want to
know that your children will be taken care of, that who is going to be their guardian. Is this someone I trust with my children? Is this someone who I believe has the correct moral compass and you know, principles I want my child to be raised under? We all assume that if I die, there'll be so many relatives just scrambling after, you know, my children to take care of them. But that might not necessarily be, you know, the state of affairs when you're dead. And then the other common reason is that people think my life is complicated. I don't know where to start. I have too many relatives, too many children, weird family dynamics. I just don't wanna deal with sitting down and thinking sort of who deserves, because that's kind of what it comes down to, right? Your wishes are who do you think deserves to benefit from your estate. But that is the biggest reason why you should do it, because if you know that you come from a complicated family structure, then you know that your death is probably going to leave a whole lot of confusion and complication when you're gone. I'm sure all of us have been in situations where we've lost a family member and there's drama about who wants to take what and who believes that they deserve A, B, C, D because they did this for the deceased. So it's very important, especially if you have a complex family structure, to make sure that you put guards in place to, you know, to make sure that when you're gone, you don't have people fighting and causing more turmoil than is necessary when you're gone. Then the other one is that people actually just don't want to think about dying, right? Which is a very valid one, right? It's weird because we all know we're going to die.
Yeah.
Yet the thought of sitting down and writing down your will kind of feels like accepting the fact that you're going to die. Or I think for some superstitious people, they feel like it's actually like summoning death, you know?
Yeah.
I come from a family where it's just me and my sister. And I like to believe that should my parents die without a will, just the two of us will be fine. But from time to time, I try to think maybe I should mention it. But when I think of mentioning it to my dad, I kind of feel like a prodigal daughter who's saying, dude, remember you're going to die and we want to inherit your stuff. So just make sure that, you know, you fix your face before you're dead, you know. So I kind of feel like if I mention it to him, then I'm going to maybe make him more aware of the fact that he's getting older and that he's going closer and closer to the day that he dies. It's a very valid feeling. No one wants to die, even though we know that indlela yethusonke. But I think if you care about those you're going to leave behind, it's important to make sure that you build up the courage to deal with the inevitable future and to hopefully make the transition, you know, of the lives of those you leave behind as much smoother as you can than to, you know, just say, I don't want to think about death. I'm going to die anyway. Because you leave more scars and more pain that could have been avoided whilst you're still alive.
Yes. Now, wow, man. Now, can the average Joe benefit from this? Is it more important because if I only have one or two things, I mean, I heard you saying that many people think they're not worth anything, but you can actually leave something. But is it worth it truly if I just, even if I have something really, it's not negligible, it's not something that will take care of, my children for the longest time. Should I still be doing that?
I think it definitely should. Because, like I'm saying, none of us knows how long we have to live when we're going to die. So it's possible that right now you don't think you have anything valuable.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, let's go wild and say tomorrow. I know as Amasala, we don't play the lotto, but let's say tomorrow we win lotto, right? We win lotto and suddenly you have 100, you know, a million rand falls on your lap. And then you die the day after the lotto. If you had a will, remember, a will doesn't necessarily have to have like a whole entire list of assets that says car, house, this, that. It can simply just be, I leave whatever it is that I own to my two children in equal portions, right? And that's the thing, that it's such a relatively simple thing to do, which you'd think people would just do just to cover their bases, right? Because you don't know the potential you have, and there might be other things that you might be entitled to that you're not aware of. Okay, let's leave Iloto aside. Maybe you could, I don't know, get harmed or injured, and then maybe one of your insurance policies will pay out. Things like that, right? Which goes back to what I was saying earlier, that not many of us are aware of how much we're actually worth. Because we like to count our worth in terms of the things that we can see and touch, like the cars and the houses and all that. But a lot of people have policies, however small they are. They have policies, they have benefits at work. There's a lot that you actually are worth or could be worth in the very near future. And if you just make sure that, you know, just have a simple will that just says, if I die, whatever it is, whether in Kuke one, you know, and one cow, this is how I want them to be divided. I think it's just being wise, you know, in making sure that your affairs are taken care of as far as you can. You don't have control of the future. So what you have control of is now. And if you can do it now, just do it anyway. That's what I would say.
Mm. Yeah. Very important. Now, what are some of the legal requirements to ensure that the will is actually valid?
Actually, I think maybe before we go to that, right? Because I think we can deal with that in the next one, which is next week.
Right.
But generally, you know, there's the usual things. It must be written. There must be witnesses. You must have proper mental capacity, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we can get into that next week. What I wanted to touch on a bit is what happens if you actually die without a will,
all right?
Right.
Yeah, good. And
because
that will be
no one else,
that will be our,
you know,
our last talking point. Yes.
Exactly. What happens if I die without a will? So one of the reasons also why people don't have wills is they assume that, especially married people, right? They assume that my spouse is just going to take everything anyway. But that's not necessarily how it happens. The law tries to deal with your estate in the most equitable way possible. So if you die without a will, this is also in the context of South Africa, right? So the act that I'm going to refer to, a South African law act. So if you die without a will, then the Interstate Succession Act comes into play, right? Mm. And this whole process is governed by the courts. It's the law taking its course and trying to make sure that everything is dealt with equitably. So let's say you're married, right? You die without a will. If you're married in communal property, which a lot of people will be, even if they don't know, your wife is going to take 50% of the estate. Your wife or your husband, why am I saying wife? Is this the husband's title?
Mm.
Your spouse is going to take 50% of your estate. Then of the 50% that remains, right, it's going to be divided between your wife and your children in equal shares.
Mm.
But the wife is always entitled to the greater of 250,000 or a child's share. So let's say you have one wife and four or three children, right? So that's four people, and your estate is worth R1 million, and maybe your wife, maybe it was worth 2 million joint. Your wife has taken 1 million, so clearly that 1 million. You're going to divide 1 million by four, right?
Mm.
Because that's your wife and the three children.
Yeah.
That comes to 250,000. So the wife takes 250,000. Each of the three kids takes 250. But let's say your estate was worth 800,000. Maybe your estate was actually worth 250,000 exactly. Your wife takes all. It means that there's nothing for the children. If you die and you don't have a wife, and remember, children include children born out of wedlock. So that's the other thing. It doesn't matter that you didn't know that there's a child who lives away. Your child is entitled to a fair share.
Yeah,
if you die without a spouse, without children, then we go and look at your extended family. Do you have parents who are alive? If you do, then between the two of them, they take 50-50. If only one is alive, then that one takes 50. The children of the one who died take the other 50 portion and they share it among themselves. If you don't have parents that are alive, then we go to your siblings. Do you have siblings that are alive?
Mm-hmm.
If you do, then it passes also equally amongst them. Then we try and go, basically the law tries as much as possible to make sure that your estate is divided amongst your relatives, right? Your friends and stuff, nah, they're not getting anything. So that's how it happens.
Yeah.
But if perchance you have no one in this whole world, then that's where your estate will then pass to the state, so the government or however it is that they use those funds. That's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important. That's why a will is very important, because you want to make sure that only the people you think are deserving, for lack of a better term, of partaking in your estate, benefit from it. Otherwise, the law is the law, and it will take its course and try to be as equitable, even if that's not really what you would have wished to happen with your estate. So I think in the coming week, we can then look at the actual requirements for a will to be valid. And we'll also then look at key considerations, because it's one thing to know what are the things to tick on the, you know, the tick boxes to making it valid. But there are certain things that you need to consider when you're thinking about what to actually put inside the will. But that's a whole entire topic on its own.
Now, I've got a question here that's coming on the line. It says, does the law care about the state of your relationship with those relatives? You know, for instance, like you have parents, but you are estranged from them, or you haven't talked to your brother for more than 20 years?
The law does not care. Remember, that's exactly what I was saying, that the law will just try to keep it in the family. They will not ask you to many kuluma where you're fine or not, you know.
Mm.
But like I'm saying, for it to get to your parents or to your other relatives, it needs to have passed through the spouse, and the children, and then comes to the parents. So you might be lucky that it never has to go to your parents or siblings. But if those are the only people who have survived you, that parent that you do not see eye to eye, I'm going to 10 years ago, could just literally take everything that you had. Yeah.
Well, yeah, quite unfortunate and interesting at the same time. Nawube, yeah. Thank you so much for your time, man. We're going to be touching base with you again next week at the same time.
Thank you for having me. I look forward to delving more into the topic in the coming weeks.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.